Good to see everybody. Everybody excited?
Yes.
That's what we need. Need excitement. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the Book of Psalms. Psalm 103. Psalm of David. Say amen when you get there. And stand up. Okay, we're going to start in Psalms 103, verse 1. Now, this should, as we read this, your spirit and your soul should just jump, like David, trying to get across. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. For as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. Father, you are so good. You are so awesome, Father. God, as we look into your word, Father, God, we just want to be in the place where David was. When he wrote this down, Father, God, living words, Father, and God, just bless your word, Father, and we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. The title of the message. Anybody want the title of the message?
Yes.
Title of the message.
Let's hear it.
Jesus loves me. Everybody say that.
Jesus loves me.
Yes. Hallelujah. You know, a lot of times when somebody's been bad, when they've been into the wrong stuff, you know, we just say, well, Jesus loves you. Well, Jesus loves all of us. We don't have to get to that place. He loves us when we're good. He loves us when we're bad. He just plain loves us. Hallelujah. So, Psalms 103, as we look into it, the whole psalm, as David pens this Psalms 103, it uncovers and it reminds us of God's endearing love from one of the Old Testament's most stirring passages. There's so much in this, in Psalms 103. I'm sure we've read the first part, and we like that. Right? Mm-hmm. But there's a lot stretched the whole way out. You know, several years ago, a student in seminary class stood to his feet and announced to the professor, "I don't believe in God." So the professor, he's all unraveled, you know. And so he said, "Describe this God you don't believe in." After the student had described an unlovely, vengeful God, the professor confessed, "I don't believe in that God either. My God's a God of love."
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we're going to look at this Jesus that loves us. This God that's love. What is love? If you was to define love, what would you say love is? We can say all kinds of dumb things, right? Oh, you know, we love this, we love that. We love hot dogs, we love hamburgers, we love whatever, you know. But we're talking about something deeper than this stuff. Now, how you define or perceive love will affect how and to what degree you receive and give love.
Without an ending.
Let me say that again. How you define or perceive love will affect how and to what degree you receive or give love. If you was raised in a family like I was, there wasn't a lot of love shown. You know, there wasn't hugs. There wasn't, you know, affection shown. And I guess we just took it for granted, you know, that our parents loved us and whatever. And so we grow up, we get married, and we have kids, and what do? Same thing. The same thing that was modeled before us, we tend to do it. And then somewhere in life we get saved, hopefully. And we find, you know, we missed it. We miss some of the things that we should have been doing. So we're going to look at this love. It's like, you know, love is so great. It's like, how do you describe a rose to a blind person? Think about it. Somebody has never seen a day in their life. How do you describe a rose or anything to them? How do you describe the mountains you can see? How do you describe clouds in the sky in a way that they could understand it? Sure, we can see it, right? And we know what we're seeing, and it's like we expect them to see. Or how do you describe Handel's Hallelujah Chorus to a deaf person? Somebody that has never heard anything. How do you describe something like that? Ephesians 3:17, Paul, and this is a prayer of Paul's, praying for believers at Ephesus, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, and depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. In other words, he was saying, until you understand how big this love is, you can't receive all the fullness of God. Isn't that cool? And that was Paul's prayer for this church, for these believers at Ephesus. Now understand, Ephesus was a big community. They believed that at one time there was about 400,000 people living in Ephesus. And it was a big commerce city. And they basically had everything, as the world would say it, had everything. But he was praying for them to know the fullness of God's love. So one of the most vivid characteristics that David is trying to get across to us is that he is a God of love. David was describing the love nature of God. So in this Psalms 103, he states that he is full of faithful love. 103:8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. Verse 11. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his faithful love toward those who fear him. 13. As a father hath compassion on his children, so the Lord hath compassion on those who fear him. 17. But from eternity to eternity, the Lord's faithful love is toward those who fear him. How many times does he say faithful love? Faithful love. It's not, well, today I love you, but maybe not tomorrow. Faithful. Every day. 7 days a week. 24 hours a day. 365 days a year. God is faithful. His love is right there. So the first, number one, was the description of God's love. Number two is the definition of God's love. How would you define, first was, how would you describe God's love? The next was, how would you define the definition of God's love? Verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Remember how Psalms 1, verse 1 starts out? It talks about how we're blessed. Blessed is the man, right? Psalms 32 talks about men being blessed. Now David says, bless the Lord. Now we like the blessings. How many like the blessings? How many like it when God blesses you? Hallelujah. Well, you know, we like it. We appreciate it. You might say we loosely, we love it. How about God? Do we ever think, God, I want to give back to you what you've given to me. Freely. Come on. Freely we've received. Do we really freely give back to him? Do we bless him? Well, David apparently wrestled with this too. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul. Everything. My mind, my will, my emotions. Soul, you're going to bless the Lord. I've been blessed, and now it's time to give back to the Lord. Hallelujah. And forget not all his benefits. The point is that not only does God love, but he is love itself. He is love. It's his very nature. 1 John 4:16. I'm going to read this out of the Amplified. We have come to know by personal by personal observation and experience, and have believed with deep, consistent faith the love which God has for us. God is love. And the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides continually in him. To say that God is love doesn't just imply that love is God. God is love means that God wants the very best for all of us. I think that's a good thing. God wants the very best. God has your best interest in mind. God has my best interest in mind. He wants to give good gifts. How many know that we serve a good God? And He gives good gifts. And he provides us with all his benefits. How many know what all the benefits are? I don't know either. There's a lot. I know some of them. But there's probably more there that we are skimming over. And we're just not appropriating some of those benefits. Hallelujah. Number three, the benefits of God's love. And I'm going to read verse 2 from the Amplified. Bless and affectionately praise the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget any of his benefits. So here's David, and as he goes through this Psalms 103, he talks about all the different phases of life and how God's love touches them. And as he touches them, in turn, we benefit and we're blessed by them. So I'm going to give you a list of the ways that we're touched. A is spiritually. Verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. So, God's love, spiritually, God's love removes the barrier that separates us from him by canceling the debt of our sin so that we can enjoy a loving relationship with him. God's love removes sin as though it never existed. It doesn't just cover over. It removes it. It's gone. The slate is wiped clean by God's love. B, emotionally and physically. Verse 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquity, who healeth all thy diseases. All thy iniquity, all of thy diseases. You know, much of our physical and emotional illness is due to moral failure. You see a lot of mess in the world today. How's the morality of our country? Is it any wonder that we're in such a mess? So in removing all the sin and any guilt from our lives, God's love provides for healing to our emotional and physical life. There's been provision made for healing in all areas. I believe God wants his children to enjoy life. How many would agree with that? Amen. Hallelujah. I think that's what Jesus was talking about when he talked about that abundant life. That was enjoying life. C, eternally. Verse 4 in the Amplified. who redeems your life from the pit and corruption. The pit is the pit of death. So God rescues us, fallen humanity, from our own bent destruction and grants us eternal life. Can you imagine what was going through David's mind as he's writing all this down? It's like the Spirit of God just speaking to him in different areas. And he's writing it down. Because actually this is God's word. Not just David's. Amen? D. Authoritatively. Verse 4b. The first one was verse 4a and verse 4b. Who beautifies, dignifies, and crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy. God's love places a crown of royal glory and authority on us. Revelation 1:6. And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He's made us kings and priests. He's crowned us. Hallelujah. So, that was authoritatively. The next one is F, judicially. And verse 6 in the Amplified. The Lord executeth righteousness and justice, not for me only, but for all who are oppressed. So here, in God's divine love, we see that there's a major difference between divine love and what so often passes for love among people. Often love is expressed as that virtue that accepts everything. Well, in God's love always makes judgment calls. Divine love hates what is wrong and embraces what is right. Psalms 45:7. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. So all those things are in number 4. Number 5, the knowledge of God's love. What do I know of God's love? If you was to write down what you know about God's love, how many pages of paper could you fill? We have any writers? Is there anybody here that's easy for you to write? It's not easy for me. Some people can just write page after page after page after page. It's just like they never run out. But what do I know of God's love? What do you know of God's love? Well, A, God's love is all-consuming. In Psalms 103, the word all is in there 8 times. And it reminds us that God's love is all-consuming. His love touches every area of our lives. A lot of times, we don't realize it. Sometimes it's hard to see His love in some areas. But think of it this way. If it wasn't for His love, where would those areas end up? He loves us so much. There's nowhere we can go to escape His love. There's no problem we'll ever encounter that's not touched by His love. When we're in the fire, when we're in the storm, it's hard to understand this.
But looking back, how many of them looked back and saw, man, God was there. God was there. Only way this could ever came out this way is God being there. God's love. Hallelujah. There's no place where we're going to advance to that God hasn't already been there. When our world falls apart, anybody ever had your world fall apart? When our world falls apart, we can say, God, I don't know why this is happening. I don't understand it. But I'm sure glad to know, God, you love me. If you've never been there, just wait. They call that life. How many have... Now maybe you guys can't relate to this. I can. But how many of you was always in the store with your mother from the time you was a baby? Well, some of us, we wasn't like that. We didn't go to the store with mother much, you know. And so anyways, there was this little boy, and he was with his mother, and he got lost from his mother. Now, if you've ever been to the store and you saw a little child that's lost and screaming for mom, well, here's this little boy, and he got lost from his mother, and he's screaming and just crying his eyes out. And finally, mother finds him. And she just picks him up, wraps her arms around him, and the tears start to dry. Now, the circumstances didn't change. The place didn't change. What changed was the arms that held him. And so when we feel like we're lost, when we're in that place, it's the arms of God that we can count on to hold us and to love us. Hallelujah. When you have someone who loves holding you, it doesn't matter anymore what everyone else does or what circumstances are or what the future holds. When you're in the arms of a loving God, when you've been consumed with His love, you share in all His benefits and everything's okay. B, God's love is personal. God's love is personal to all of us. As a personal being, God's a personal being, right? So as a personal being, God's love is caring and it's intensely personal. God's love is not just for mankind, which, you know, you hear that a lot. Well, God loves mankind. But God's love is more personal than that. It's not a sentimental, vague feeling like a Charlie Brown attitude when he says, I love mankind, it's people I can't stand. That's not God. God really likes, He really loves individual people. Notice in Psalms 103, the number of times the personal pronoun me and my are used. So personal. You know, when we get to reading this stuff and we put our name in there, makes a big difference. You know, it's not just, well, yeah, I know He loves this person, that person. But how about put our name in there? And God loves me. And God loves you. Hallelujah. There was a man by the name of Karl Barth. He was a famed German theologian, and he visited the United States. And so he was at a seminary, and a student supposedly asked him, "Dr. Barth, what is the single most important truth you have learned as a theologian? What's the single most important truth you have learned as a theologian?" Barth replied, "The most important thing I have learned is this." How many's ready? "The most important thing I have learned is this. Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so." Pretty simple answer. How profound. Little kids, what do we tell them? "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." And how do we know? By reading the Bible. The God of love. The God that, it's His Word. Every word. God is love. When God says, "I love you," He's saying that you matter to Him. You're a person of worth. You're valuable to Him. Regardless of what others think, in His eyes, you are wonderful. Pretty good words when you're trying to encourage somebody. When you're trying to get them to see God as this God of love, how personal He is. God's love is beyond comprehension. Verse 13, "As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust." Isn't it amazing how God knows us? He knows that in our mind we can only understand so much. David says we're dust. Well, thanks, David. Just what we wanted to be, dust. But it's like David said, "How can we understand you, God? You're so big, and after all, you know we was formed from dust. So how do we understand this love?" But God, His love is so, so far out there. So big. Amen. God knows that I sin, yet when I repent, He forgives. If I get myself in a jam or in a pit or in a mess or whatever, when I cry out to Him in love, He pulls me out. So no matter what we do, what we get ourselves into, you know, we cry out to God, He just pours out love. "Like a father's love for a wayward and rebellious son." Remember the prodigal son? How he just waited for the son to come back. And was he wayward? Was he rebellious? Oh, yeah. Yeah. And how many know that God was waiting for us? Of course, He's got an advantage. Time is no problem. We have this thing called time. A day with the Lord is 1,000 years. So what's a 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, God says, I'm still waiting. Praise the Lord. I'm glad God waited for me. And he was there all the time, just like the prodigal's son's father. He was there just waiting for the boy to find himself. Understand that he was in a hog slop and he needed to come back. Hallelujah. So just like the prodigal son's father was just waiting for him to come back, and it's like he didn't even ask any questions. He just accepted him the way he was. Isn't that neat? Son, you need to go get a bath. You really stink, you know? You've been with the hogs. But no. He told the servants, get the finest robe. Put the robe on him. Put a ring on his finger. And let's celebrate. And that's our God. That's love. That is love demonstrated. It was so far beyond the elder brother, he couldn't understand this love. What's the celebration all about? Well, pups are on a party. That rebellious son came home. Well, you know, I've been here all the time. Look what I done. I took care of the cows. I made all the crops. And I was here. Never once was there a party thrown for me, because he couldn't understand that love. Wonder if we ever get in that situation. Well, why is he getting all the blessings? Why does that guy get healed all the time? Why is that guy operating all the gifts? God, I've been here. Okay, God, it's all about your love, I know. Sometimes we got to get rid of pride so we can receive that love. Hallelujah. There was a Vietnam veteran, he was an Air Force colonel, John Manser, tells about an 8-year-old orphan girl who was wounded after a misdirected mortar attack. An American Navy doctor and nurse were called. They surmised that the little girl would die if a blood transfusion did not take place. But a quick test showed that neither American had the correct type, but several of the uninjured orphans did. So the doctor, he couldn't speak fluent Vietnamese, so he spoke a little bit of Vietnamese. And there was a nurse there, and she spoke some French. And so they put that combination together, and with sign language and everything, they tried to explain to these young orphans, and they was frightened, they was confused, they didn't know what was going on. And so they're trying to get across to them that unless they can replace some of this wounded girl's blood, that she would certainly die. And then they ask this group of orphans, is there anybody here that would be willing to donate some blood? And so they're all just looking, and they're quiet. And after a little bit, a little hand went up, and then it went back down. And then it went back up. And so the nurse said, thank you. What's your name? And the little boy said, Hang. Hang was quickly laid on a pallet, his arm swabbed with alcohol, and a needle inserted into his vein. Through the ordeal, Hang lay stiff and silent. After a moment, he started sobbing. And he quickly covered his face with his free hand. And then the occasional sobs gave way to a steady, silent crying. His eyes was closed real tight, and his fist to his mouth to try to stifle the cry. And so the medical team, they're concerned. What's going on here? Something was obviously very wrong. At that point, a Vietnamese nurse arrived to help. And seeing the little guy's distress, she spoke to him rapidly in Vietnamese. Listening to his reply, she answered in a soothing voice. After a moment, the patient stopped crying and looked questioningly at the Vietnamese nurse. When she nodded, you could see this great relief spread over his face. Glancing up, the nurse said to the Americans, he thought he was dying. He misunderstood you. He thought you had asked him to give all his blood so the little girl could live. So the Navy nurse says, but why would he do that? The Vietnamese nurse asked the little boy, and he answered simply, she's my friend. So that's a glimpse of this incomprehensible love. She's my friend. There's a quote. Love is always beautiful. If it's not beautiful, it's not love. John 15:13. No one has greater love than this, that someone would lay down his life for his friends. So if you want a definition of love, look at what God did for us in Christ. Romans 5:8. But God proves his own love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. So if you really want to understand love, don't listen to love songs or people who just throw the term love around. If you want to get to the depths of what it means to love and be loved, look to the cross of Christ. Because there, God's love came to mankind. The cross of Jesus, is the ultimate expression of God's incomprehensible love to mankind. So if you ever wonder if God loves you, look to the cross. The cross is God's way of saying, I love you. This much. With his arms outstretched, Jesus on the cross, with his arms outstretched, his final words to us are etched in on the Roman cross in blood red. They scream, I love So if you're here today and have never known that love, I invite you to come. If you're here today and you feel like that love is a million miles away, I invite you to come. If you're here and you're seeking God to know what is the length and the width and the depth and the height of God's love, God, Jesus is waiting here with arms outstretched, just on the cross, just like on the cross, and he's saying, come. So if you're in one of those categories and you want to come, come. I'm going to close in prayer. And you guys can come. If you're looking for God's love, don't look in all the wrong places. Hallelujah, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for Psalms 103. Thank you, Father, as we study your word, Father.
God, we see David's heart poured out, Lord God. And God, you said that David was a man after your own heart. And so, Father, we look at that, Lord God. And God, as we try to understand your love, Father, as we try to comprehend the fullness of your love, Lord God, God, we come up lacking so many times, Lord God. But God, we seek you, Lord God. We want to know you more, Father. We want to, oh God, just love you, Father, the way you love us, Lord God. And God, we just ask, Lord God, that you will just open our hearts, Lord God. Open our minds, Father. God, just expound, Lord God. God, anything we could possibly think about you, Father. Oh God, may we multiply by a million times, Lord God. God, to know your love, Father. God, may, as Paul prayed, Lord God. God, I believe he wasn't only praying for the church at Ephesus, but God, he was praying for us. That we might know what is the length and the width and the depth and the height of your love. Father, that's our desire. And God, you said, God, that you would give us the desires of our heart. So, Father, we desire you, Lord God. We desire you, Lord God. God, we want you, Father. Not satisfied where we're at, Lord God. Just wanting more. Just seeking more, God. God, we want you.